When's the last time you sat in your own living room and felt like a prisoner in your own marriage? You made vows in front of everyone that mattered. You signed papers. You built a life. But somewhere between the wedding and now, your wife stopped being your partner and became your warden. You tell yourself you're staying for the right reasons, for the kids, for your word, for the family, for the promise you made before God. But here's the question nobody asks you. What if staying isn't noble? What if it's just slow-motion self-destruction? I'm going to walk you through the exact framework that separates a marriage worth fighting for from one that's killing you. Not relationship advice, not marriage counseling platitudes. The brutal checklist. Every husband needs when he's deciding whether to keep fighting or finally walk away. Let me be clear about something first. Not every rough patch means your marriage is toxic. Normal marriages have conflict, communication breakdowns, seasonal disconnection, phases where you're roommates more than lovers. That's life, but there's a line. On one side, fixable problems. On the other, chronic dysfunction that no amount of effort will repair. Here's how you know the difference. Fixable problems get better when you both engage. She acknowledges her part, you acknowledge yours. There's reciprocity, forward movement. Toxic patterns don't improve, they escalate. You try harder, she punishes you for trying. You communicate better, she weaponizes your honesty. The effort is one-directional, and every attempt to fix things just deepens the trap. Most husbands in dying marriages are caught between three forces. First, guilt. You made promises. Those vows weren't suggestions, they were commitments. Walking away feels like betrayal, like failure. Second, fear. Fear of being alone at 40, 45, 50. Fear of losing half your assets, your house, your time with your kids. Fear that maybe you're the problem. And third, reality. The reality that your marriage has become a battlefield. That you wake up anxious. That you avoid going home. That the woman you married either doesn't exist anymore or never existed at all. These three forces are tearing you apart. Guilt says stay. Fear says stay. Reality says run. And you're paralyzed between them reading this at 2 a.m. Wondering if you're insane for even considering leaving. Let's start with the patterns that tell you this isn't temporary rough water, it's structural toxicity. First pattern, the moral inconsistency cycle. Your wife holds you to standards. She doesn't apply to herself. You're late picking up the kids. You're irresponsible. She forgets to pay a bill. You should have reminded her. You spend $100 on something for yourself. Selfish. She drops $400 on clothes. Self-care. The rules only apply to you, and they change based on her mood. I remember talking to this husband whose wife complained constantly about him working late. He was bringing in 80% of household income. She'd guilt him every time he stayed past 6 p.m. Meanwhile, she'd spend 3 hours a night scrolling Instagram and watching reality TV. When he mentioned it once, just once, she exploded, accused him of attacking her. That's not a communication problem. That's a double standard designed to keep you off balance. Here's where most marriage counselors get it wrong. They'll tell you both partners need to compromise. True, in a healthy marriage. But in a toxic one, compromise becomes one-sided concession. You compromise your needs, your boundaries, your sanity. She compromises nothing. You meet her halfway. She moves the line. Eventually, you're 90% of the way to her side, and she's still unsatisfied. Second pattern, emotional terrorism. This is when your wife uses emotional reactions as weapons. Every boundary you set triggers a meltdown. You can't have a simple conversation because she immediately escalates to tears, rage, or complete shutdown. It's operant conditioning. Intermittent emotional punishment keeps you constantly trying to avoid the next explosion. Think about this. When's the last time you expressed a need without calculating how she'd react? When's the last time you asked for something simple, more physical intimacy, help with housework, basic respect, without triggering World War III? If every attempt to address your needs becomes about managing her emotions, you're not in a marriage. You're her emotional janitor, and nobody respects their janitor. Pay attention to this part. I had a client, husband, married 11 years, two kids, who only realized how bad things were when he traveled for work. 4 days in Dallas for a conference. And on day two, he noticed something shocking. He felt peace, not just absence of stress, actual peace. He slept through the night. His shoulders relaxed. That contrast showed him the truth. His marriage wasn't his refuge, it was his prison. Third pattern, the kids as hostages strategy. When your wife uses your children as leverage, not directly, she's smarter than that, through subtle threats. If you leave, you'll destroy them. If you file for divorce, they'll hate you. It's emotional blackmail disguised as concern. And it works because you actually do care about your kids. She knows that, and she weaponizes your love. But here's what nobody tells you. Staying in a toxic marriage for the kids doesn't protect them, it damages them. They're watching. They see how she treats you. They hear the arguments. They feel the tension. You think you're shielding them. You're actually teaching them that this is what marriage looks like. Your son learns that being a husband means being disrespected. Your daughter learns that being a wife means having power through chaos. I know a husband who stayed 6 extra years for the kids. When he finally left, his 14-year-old daughter told him, "Dad, I've been waiting for you to leave since I was 10. The kids knew, they always know. What they needed wasn't you staying in misery. They needed you to show them that self-respect matters. Now here's where this gets really twisted. Fourth pattern, the chaos addiction dynamic. Some wives need emotional intensity to feel alive. Calm feels like death to them. So they create problems, manufacture drama, start fights over nothing, not because they're trying to solve anything, because they're addicted to the emotional roller coaster, and you've become their supplier. This is intermittent reinforcement at its most brutal. Monday, she's affectionate. Tuesday, she's cold, distant, hostile. Wednesday, she's back to affectionate, but only after you've apologized for something you didn't do. Your brain can't predict when the next reward comes, so it obsesses. You're not in love anymore. You're chemically dependent on the chaos cycle. Listen carefully. There's a massive difference between a wife who's going through a hard time and a wife who is the hard time. A wife going through difficulty can still show up. She acknowledges the strain. She's grateful for your support. She's trying. But a wife, who is the problem? Every day is a crisis. Every interaction is a negotiation. Nothing you do is enough. Your effort isn't recognized. It's expected. Fifth pattern, projection and blame shifting. She accuses you of exactly what she's doing. You're distant and cold, she says, while giving you zero affection for months. You don't communicate, she claims, after shutting down every conversation you try to start. You're selfish, she insists, while demanding you sacrifice everything for her comfort. The person causing harm paints themselves as the one being harmed. I remember when a close friend, married 8 years, told me his wife accused him of emotionally abandoning the family. He was working 50-hour weeks to support them. When he got home, she'd be on her phone, barely acknowledge him, give him the silent treatment. If he didn't read her mood perfectly, he tried for months to connect. Every attempt was met with coldness or criticism. Finally, he stopped trying, and that's when she hit him with the abandonment accusation. She created the distance, then blamed him for it. Here's the part most people miss. Sixth pattern, the financial control game. Money becomes another weapon. She monitors every dollar you spend while her spending is off limits, or she refuses to work but criticizes how much you make. or she threatens divorce, knowing the family court system favors her, knowing she'll get the house, the kids, the alimony, while you're rebuilding at 45 with 30% of your income gone. But here's what fear does. It keeps you in something that's killing you slowly instead of risking the pain of leaving. You stay because divorce is expensive. But what's the cost of your sanity? What's the price of another 10 years of this? Money can be rebuilt. Your mental health, your relationship with your kids, your sense of self, those are harder to recover once they're destroyed. Now, let's go deeper. Seventh pattern. The intimacy withdrawal. This isn't just about sex, though that's usually part of it. This is complete emotional and physical disconnection. She doesn't touch you, doesn't look at you, doesn't ask about your day. You're roommates at best, and when you bring it up, she tells you you're obsessed with sex, or you're not romantic enough, or she's tired, or anything except the truth. She's checked out. What most husbands don't realize, this withdrawal is strategic. It keeps you off balance, desperate for any scrap of affection. So when she does show you attention, once every few weeks, just enough, it feels like a gift. You become grateful for basic respect. You've been conditioned to accept breadcrumbs and call it a feast. Here's a brutal truth. If your wife wanted to connect with you, she would. Desire doesn't need to be negotiated. Attraction doesn't require a 10-step plan. When someone wants you, you know. When they don't, you know that too. You just don't want to accept it. Eighth pattern, the moral fuse malfunction. Healthy people have internal stops, lines they won't cross, even when they're angry. But some wives lack this completely. They'll say the most vicious things in an argument. Bring up your deepest insecurities, mock your vulnerabilities, cross every line, and the next day, act like nothing happened, expect you to move on. No genuine apology, no acknowledgement of damage done. This tells you something critical. She doesn't stop herself because cruelty feels wrong. She stops herself if she stops at all, only because of external consequences, fear of divorce, fear of you leaving. But the internal moral restraint, it doesn't exist. And without that, you're always one argument away from total devastation. Here's where the guilt keeps you trapped. You made vows, for better or worse, till death do us part. And you're a man of your word. But here's what nobody tells you when you're standing at the altar. Those vows were mutual. When she stopped honoring you, respecting you, cherishing you, she already broke the vows. You staying doesn't make you noble. It makes you complicit in your own destruction. The promise wasn't, I'll stay no matter how you treat me. The promise was, we'll build a life together with mutual love and respect. If that foundation doesn't exist, the vows are already void. You're not breaking the contract by leaving. You're acknowledging it's already broken. Let me show you the decision framework every husband needs. Ask yourself these questions. Does your marriage add to your life or subtract from it? Do you feel more alive, more yourself, more capable with her or less, more peace or more anxiety, more confidence or more self-doubt? If the relationship is subtracting from who you are, it's toxic. Period. Second question. Is there reciprocity? When you try, does she try? When you sacrifice, does she sacrifice? Or is it all one way? You giving, her taking, you adjusting, her demanding, you bending, her controlling. If it's one directional, you're not in a partnership, you're in servitude. Third question, are your children learning what love should look like or what dysfunction looks like? When your kids watch you two interact, what are they learning? That marriage means sacrifice and respect, or that marriage means one person dominates and the other survives? Your marriage is their textbook. What are you teaching them? Fourth question, have you already left emotionally? You fantasize about what life would be like without her. Not occasionally, constantly, you imagine the peace, the freedom, the possibility of meeting someone who actually values you. You've already detached. You're just physically present. That's not a marriage. That's a waiting room. And here's the final question. If your son or best friend described your exact marriage to you and asked for advice, what would you tell him to do? You'd tell him to leave. You know you would. So, why are you giving yourself different advice than you'd give someone you care about? Now let's talk about what keeps you frozen. The sunk cost fallacy. I've invested 10 years. I can't walk away now. But time already spent doesn't turn dysfunction into function. You're not getting those years back by staying. You're just adding more wasted years to the count. The loneliness fear. What if I don't find anyone else? But being alone and peaceful destroys. Being partnered and chaotic. Loneliness is temporary. The damage from a toxic marriage is permanent. You can rebuild a social life, date again, find real connection. You can't recover while you're still in it. Here's what happens when you finally decide to leave. She'll cycle through every tactic in the book, love bombing. Suddenly she's affectionate, promising change. Anger, you're abandoning the family, you're selfish. Bargaining, just give me 6 more months, we'll try counseling again. Threats, you'll regret this. The kids will hate you. I'll take everything. None of it is genuine. It's panic at losing control. The wife who couldn't be bothered to respect you. Suddenly can't imagine life without you. This isn't love. It's desperation to maintain the dynamic where she had all the power and you had all the responsibility. Don't fall for it. Real change takes years of consistent effort. Not desperate promises made when she realizes you're serious about leaving. Anyone can promise transformation. Few actually do the internal work required. And you are not obligated to stay and see if she's one of the rare ones who means it. Here's your action framework. If you recognize chronic patterns, not occasional bad behavior, but sustained toxicity, it's time to go. Not after the holidays, not after the kids graduate, not when it's more convenient, now. Because every day you stay is another day of damage to your mental health, your self-respect, your relationship with your children, and your future. Your responsibility is to yourself first. Not selfishness, self-preservation. You can't be a good father from a place of brokenness. You can't model strength while accepting chronic disrespect. You can't teach your kids about healthy love while living in toxicity. Leaving isn't abandoning your family. It's protecting yourself so you can actually show up as the man, father, and eventually partner you're meant to be. If these patterns define your marriage, if you see yourself in this, then staying isn't nobility. It's self-abandonment. A real husband protects himself so he can protect what matters. Even if that means walking away from a marriage that's already dead, you deserve a life where you're valued, not tolerated, respected, not managed, loved, not endured. And if your marriage doesn't provide that, you deserve to leave and build something better.